How did your research into imagination and engaging kids in tasks come about?
My research was really in incidental learning. So it's the sort of learning that you do when you're not trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm particularly interested in the ways that we learn, sort of how we've evolved to learn versus the ways that we teach in classrooms, and trying to sort of reap some of those benefits of the ways that we've evolved to learn and bring that into the classroom. So play is a really good example of that. Learning through play happens quite naturally. It's not like children sit down when they're playing pirates and think about, oh, what are the outcomes of this particular play and, you know, what social skills will I be building? Thank you very much. It's a very much a natural thing that seems to happen across cultures. Every culture that's been studied in the world has instances of play recorded, and we know that lots of animals engage in it as well. So it probably serves a really important evolutionary function.
Right. So in your research, you looked at fictional characters specifically. Was there a reason why you looked at just fictional characters?
Yeah, so there's an element of pretense in almost all play, even if it's something as simple as, you know, banging a mobile when you're a very young infant, or, you know, chasing and playing tickles, those sorts of things have an imaginary or pretense component to it. So it's quite a rational thing or a logical thing then to look at, well, what is it about that pretense which might be helping the ways that we develop as really little ones? So we're sort of looking at the ages of 2 to 7, you know, as a broad stroke.
And what differences did you notice when you saw these younger kids take on a character when they were engaging in tasks?
So it's quite subtle. So when we record these things in experimental conditions, there's been a lot of work out of the US in the last 5 to 10 years, which has been looking at some of the skills that children get when they are in a pretend character as opposed to playing themselves. And they're things like they persist more, the children are able to inhibit other things, and they're able to regulate their own emotions better. It all sort of comes back to that thing, I think, when you're the stereotypical thing of feeding a baby, and you, instead of focusing on them, you know, Jemima is just eating her lunch, it's making the spoon into an aeroplane that allows a sort of an imaginary situation to unfold. And that engagement of the imagination means that Jemima is a little bit more persistent being a aeroplane hanger than she is being herself.
Right. So why do you think it's important that children engage in playing pretend to learn things rather than, I guess, just engaging with media like television or playing a game on, say, an iPad?
Right, okay. So some of the research on that, so there's what's called a fantasy orientation. So children that are better able to engage in more fantastical play or indeed just to engage in more fantastic thinking are actually better at telling stories. They're better at understanding other people's perspectives, and they generally develop social skills a little bit earlier. So things like theory of mind, which is the ability to understand other people have different perspectives to your own, those sorts of things develop earlier in children that have that fantasy orientation. So, you know, it's not a field science. We're certainly, as researchers, I'm often quite surprised by the findings of the research, and it's really, it has a very long history. But it's only really in the last 5 years that we're getting to see some really good accumulation of research studies. And I do sort of detail some of those more recent findings in a conversation article that came out on Friday, just the week past. And that sort of gives a bit of an accessible introduction, I guess, to some of those research studies for parents and the ways that they could use it in the home to help them with lockdown or just spending more time at home generally, where children can go a little bit stir crazy in these strange times.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess finally, what is the importance of using imagination for kids?
Yeah, so it seems that from what we know, that being imaginative, you know, is helpful in the sort of superficial sense of just being more creative. And I think that imagination has this amazing capability to kind of engage the children's minds. So you can probably think of your favourite horror movie or your favourite sort of sci-fi thriller that maybe actually the scariest part was when you weren't seeing anything, and that's probably because your imagination is getting engaged. And we think that children's imagination is a way to sort of light up a lot more parts of the brain and really keep them stimulated. I think that often we mistake a lot of children's acting out or being a little bit naughty or pushing the boundaries as just that, as being naughty, when in fact they're probably just a little bit bored and they're really wanting a bit more challenge, and that's what sort of drives their development. So we shouldn't blame them for that. That's a really natural behaviour as well. So I think it's just about trying to use imagination to your advantage as a parent, particularly in the domestic environment.